You're listening to James Valentine on ABC Radio.
A couple of days ago, the Nahlia Indigenous Corporation published a letter that they'd sent to the Premier to suggest that what we needed in New South Wales was the Wallumar Court. And this letter had the backing and signatures of, I think, some 700 or more Indigenous lawyers and legal practitioners and others saying, yep, this is the kind of thing we need. It's a court that will be different to the standard courts in New South Wales. It would take into account the circumstances of Indigenous Australians that might have come before it. It would be a step towards helping to reduce the rates of incarceration of Indigenous Australians, which are horrendous, and things need to be done. To tell us more about it and tell us what it is, we're joined by Gaynar Maynard, who's from the Nahlia Corporation. He's a law graduate. Camilla Roy Mann and Tony McAvoy, who's Silk. Gaynar, very good afternoon.
Hi, James. Good afternoon to you, too.
Yeah, what is it? What's the Wallumar Court?
Well, James, the Wallumar Court is basically a proposal for a sentencing court in the District Court of New South Wales to utilise some of the therapeutic approaches to sentencing that we know in this state, in the drug court, and in the youth Koori court. Basically, it means that instead of sending somebody to prison to languish in a cell, you develop a diversionary program where that person can continue to work in the community, but also be supervised and make sure that they are on the right path to rehabilitation. And the difference really between the Wallumar Court and other courts that have been developed in this country is that you involve the Indigenous community, you involve Indigenous elders in developing that diversionary program, and you keep cultural ties strong as a result.
Yeah. And so it's a sentencing court. Does that mean that the case would take place in a conventional court?
Yes, well, there'd have to be a finding of guilt beforehand, either a plea of guilt entered or a finding of guilt, as I understand.
Yeah, okay. And so then you would end up in this for sentencing?
That's right.
Right. Why the letter? Why now? What are you hoping for?
Well, we think it's really an urgent requirement, and the proposal has been alive to government for a number of years now. But it's an opportune time now because of the closing the gap refresh, the end of last month, which you might know proposed a new target for a reduction in the over-incarceration of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples, and also in the context of the New South Wales government's good work to date in expanding the Youth Koori Court, which adopts a similar model for child offenders. We just see this as a natural extension of that work and a way to fulfil the closing the gap target. And this proposal in particular has got a lot of evidence to commend it.
Mm. Have we seen from the Youth Koori Court? It's been running about a year, but are we seeing any effect on those incarceration rates?
Yes, we are. There was actually a recent report by Western Sydney University, some researchers at Western Sydney University, that found that program is being quite successful, and that the expansion of the program out to Surry Hills in Sydney is in recognition of that, of its success.
Yep. Talking to Gaynar Maynard from the Nahlia Indigenous Corporation about the establishment, the proposal for an establishment of the Wallumar Court. Tony McAvoy joins us as well, but First Indigenous SC, First Indigenous Silk. Tony, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, James. How are you?
Good. You signed the letter because?
We're in a bit of a crisis at the moment in Australia. We have a situation where First Nations people make up about 2.8% of Australia's population, yet in New South Wales we comprise 25% of the adults in 25% of the adults in custody. The imprisonment rate for First Nations people has been going up steadily over the years, and between 2012 and 2019 it went from approximately 2,200 people in custody to 3,400 First Nations people in custody. We see that this rate is not slowing down, and the point of having the Wallumar Court is to try and at least provide an appropriate mechanism at the district court level, which deals with indictable offences, to allow the rate of reoffending or recidivism to drop and to remove that additional number of people from incarceration.
Because we know this in general population as well, doesn't it? Like, you know, once in jail, you're more likely to end up back in jail.
Yes. So the reoffending rate for Indigenous people in New South Wales is something like 51%. But we also know that those that go through the New South Wales Drug Court, the reoffending rate is more close to 39%. And that's a marked difference. And if we can bring the principles of the New South Wales Drug Court, where there's intensive post-sentencing management and support for the offenders, into the Indigenous specialist court world, then it's reasonable to expect that we would get similar results.
Right. So to clarify, if I was an Indigenous person with drug offences, I could end up in the drug court, and then if I had this would be for other offences and drug offences?
It would be for other offences, right. And excluding sexual offences. And the offenders are required to plead guilty, and they're required to agree to a statement of facts as to what their offence involved, and there's a capacity for the victims to be involved, and there's elders that sit with the court, and the proposal is that once sentenced, the individual, the offender, gets all the support they need to steer them away from reoffending and keep them out of the system.
Yeah. I mean, that's an interesting distinction, isn't it? The defendant is required to plead guilty.
Yes. So it's not a case where the proposal is to replace a jury with some other form of trial. It's only in those cases where people have pleaded guilty.
Yeah. Can you give an insight into a little further into that process when we're talking about, say, elders are there, elders are present? What's the relationship between the elders and the offender, between the elders and the court?
Yes. Well, the way in which the courts operate, in my experience, develops somewhat organically. And we know, though, from the operation of the Koori Court in the County Court of Victoria, so at the same level as the District Court in New South Wales, that the elders play a very vital role in making the process real for Aboriginal offenders. Because for many people, this is the anecdotal experience, the process of going to court, it feels like it's something that's being done to them rather than something that they're part of, and that really has an impact on the ability of the court to process to deliver any deterrent aspect. And so by making it real and making the elders part of the process, it becomes something that the community and the offender really own the outcome, and this is seen as to be a vital thing.
Yeah. Gunnar, is this, you know, you mentioned the Youth Koori Court operating in New South Wales. Are there other examples around Australia and in other states that are similar?
Yes, there's a similar model in the Victorian Magistrates Court, as I understand it. We've also had circle sentencing in parts of New South Wales, which adopt some processes that are similar.
And circle sentencing is what?
Well, circle sentencing is similar to the Wallama Court. A plea of guilt is entered. The offender consents to the sentencing being heard in a circle sentencing court, and then the offender, members of the community, in some cases the victim of the offence, and a prosecutor and a judicial officer sit around a table and discuss what would be an appropriate sentence to impose.
Yeah. The hard criticism of this is that you can't have different laws for different groups. If someone's done the crime, they need to go through the same process as anybody else, Gainer.
Yes, well, the issue is that oftentimes the courts, in developing their sentences, aren't able to impose an appropriate sentence, and you'd go back to the ancients to find that justice really doesn't mean that everybody gets the exact same thing, but rather justice demands that the circumstances of a particular case are taken into account. Now, when it comes to Indigenous offenders, there are myriad issues that underpin offending, and some of them are most appropriately dealt with in within the community and by people who can understand those issues. When we're talking about generational trauma and the effects of racism, past and present, in this country.
Yeah.
The other side of the coin is, at the end of the day, a stronger community being developed as a result of offenders remaining in the community, and the legitimacy of the community being strengthened by its participation in a sentencing program will actually result in a community that has less offending, which is better for everybody. It's better for offenders. It's better for the potential victims of offences, and it's better for all of us.
Tony McAvoy, that hard critique of this kind of idea, you know, that someone's stolen the car, you know, why are there two different processes now for those for two different people?
Yes, well, it's a good question, James, but the reality is that the two different people that you're hypothesising about do not start from the same place. And what we've got in New South Wales and across Australia is a hugely different number of people in custody. And so the Wollum Accord is really about achieving outcomes and trying to diminish the number of and reduce the number of people in custody, because it's generally agreed that it is at crisis level. The committee that established the Wollum Accord, I should add, James, is chaired by a district court judge, Judge Dina Yehia, but it's also comprised of the Department of Corrective Services, the New South Wales Director of Public Prosecutions, the Legal Aid Commission, the Public Defender's Office, and it's been given support in two recent inquiries, the Pathways to Justice Australian Law Reform Commission report from 2017, and also the recent ICE report into the ICE inquiry. So those people who work within the sector understand the importance of this particular measure and have given it their support. And that, I think, signals that the notion of treating everybody the same really doesn't apply in these circumstances. Mm.
I suppose the other view would be, is sentencing the right point to address the injustice?
Well, James, the Royal Commission to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Deaths in Custody report came out in 1991. It talked at length about, and the recommendations addressed, the need to reduce the rate at which Aboriginal people were going into incarceration by providing programs in the community and ensuring that people were dealt with differently by police, that community groups were supported, and the notion of early intervention in community programs is well known, just not very well practiced.
Mm. Given the kind of support you were just listening there, Tony McAvoy, the recent statements around closing the gap, how hopeful are you that we might see a Wollumar court soon in New South Wales?
I'm very hopeful, James. I can't imagine a package that is designed to address the justice targets under the closer gap reform that doesn't include the Wollumar court as a central part of that package.
Yeah. Gunny, yourself, since the letter's been out, what kind of reaction you had? How are you judging the support for this?
No, we've had quite a good reaction among colleagues, among the media, and among Indigenous law students in particular. And I'd echo what Tony has said, in that I expect the government will look at this quite carefully now, especially in light of the closing the gap targets, and I fully expect that this will be a key part of the government's response to those targets.
Yeah. Where's the word come from, Wollumar? What does that mean?
It's Darug for to go back, to return.
Right. Nice. Great to talk to you. All the best with it.
Thanks very much, James.
Thank you so much. Gunnar Maynard is from the Nahlia Indigenous Corporation. He's a law graduate, Camilla Roy Mann. Tony McAvoy is the first Indigenous SC in Australia, and he's a barrister with the Frederick Jordan Chambers. And, we'll look out for that one. And, I think we need to be thinking of everything that can be done. The figures just speak for themselves. The recent reaction from federal government around closing the gap targets says the same thing, that whatever we've been doing hasn't been working. Whatever we've found in the past, we haven't implemented. The time is now, not some other point in the future.
You're listening to James Valentine on ABC Radio.